This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Last week in Norway we covered Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah has compiled a detailed list of approximately 70 to 100 benefits of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We covered about 33 of these points last week. Just going to continue with them. The 33, they'll be put online afterwards anyway. So we're going to continue with them. Each of them is extremely relevant benefit anyway. We start from number 34. أَنَّ دَوَامَ الذِّكْرِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى يُوجِبُ الْأَمَانَ مِنْ نِسْيَانِهِ الَّذِي هُوَ سَبَّبُ شَقَاءِ الْعَبْدِ فِي مَعَاشِهِ وَمَعَادِهِ فإن نسيان الرب سبحانه وتعالى يوجب نسيان نفسه ومصالحها. He says that doing the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly, having a regular focus on that, will provide a person, in fact obligate that a person, or will secure a person from forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? What is the benefit of not forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why should a person not forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why should a person not stop remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is because anybody who stops remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it gives him misfortune in his this life and in the hereafter. Absence of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides this misfortune in this life and in the hereafter at some level or the other. What it does is that if anybody forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you forget Allah, Allah will make you forget yourself. As Allah says in the Quran, they forgot Allah فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. So Allah made them forget themselves. Now you might be thinking, who forgets themselves? Nobody becomes a person who thinks about everything else but themselves, because we generally do everything for ourselves. So why is it, or how is it, that a person is going to forget themselves? But this makes perfect sense. What it's trying to say is that when a person forgets themselves, it means when they forget their real selves and what the real motive of their self should be and what their real function should be. That's what the problem is. So anybody who forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person is not going to focus on him, on the prosperity of himself in terms of this world and the hereafter. That's just going to go by the wayside. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Do not be like those people who forgot Allah, so Allah made them forget themselves. He did not let them focus on their priorities. He got them indulged in different priorities. Priorities for this world, priorities for other things. And these people were surely fasiqeen. They were surely transgressors. That's what it'll turn out to be. Because when you don't have focus on Allah and yourself, that's what will happen. When a person forgets himself, then he will forget about his real needs and concerns, and he will be occupied away from them. He'll be focused on totally something else. فَهَلَكَتْ وَفَسَدَتْ فَلَا بُدَّ. And then he'll be destroyed in that sense. And there's no doubt about this, he's saying. كَمَنْ لَهُ زَرْعٌ أَوْ بُسْتَانٌ أَوْ مَاشِيَةٌ أَوْ غَيْرُ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا صَلَاحُهُ وَفَلَاحُهُ يَتَعَاهَدُهُ وَالْقِيَامُ عَلَيْهِ. For example, you've got somebody who has he's given the example of a field. Somebody has field in which he grows his crops. You can say a person has a store, a shop. He's been given a business. He's inherited a business. So that is what he is supposed to get his income from. That is what he's supposed to have. That is supposed to, what his income is supposed to be from. And that's what he's supposed to be focusing behind. فَأَهْمَلَهُ وَنَسِيَهُ. What this person does instead is that he leaves it alone. He disregards it. He's heedless of it. He's just, the money that he also got with his business, you know, the cash, he's just focused on spending that. So the business, he thinks that it's just going to continue on its own. He has no experience. So he feels that somebody else is going to look after it for him. But no, that's not going to happen. So then he gets occupied with something else. Then obviously there's no doubt this business is going to go down. How many people have lost their businesses because of that? Have hindered their, have harmed their businesses because of this same fact that they're heedless of this thing. Same kind of thing for the hereafter. We have inherited this through the kalima la ilaha illallah. Through the kalima la ilaha illallah. Through our birth in a Muslim house, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that much tawfiq. It's like He gave us inheritance. But if we're going to be focused on other things, instead of our inheritance and looking after it, building it, making it prosper, just the way you would do to a business, then imagine what is going to happen. This is the same person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines as a person whose amr is farat, farata. It's all gone to waste, it's all redundant. A person who doesn't really know what he's doing, and then suddenly you see that he's in a sense, everybody else sees it as well. That look what this person is doing to his business. And this is probably what the angels are thinking about us. Allah has given you so much and look what you're doing. فَانْفَرَطَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُهُ وَضَاعَتْ مَصَالِحُهُ. All of the things that would be beneficial for him have all gone. And instead of that, everything that surrounds him now is of severing himself from any good. وَلَا سَبِيلَ إِلَى الْأَمَانِ مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ إِلَّا بِدَوَامِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَاللَّهَجِ لَهُ وَاللَّهَجِ بِهِ. There is now only one way to gain aman from this, to gain protection from this. You can still secure yourself. You can still secure yourself. The only way is by continuously then becoming engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and becoming totally dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنْ لَا يَزَالُ اللِّسَانُ رَطَبًا بِهِ. And that the tongue becomes occupied with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that a person make this as important as anything else that he would consider important to sustain their life with. That is how important a person needs to make it. It is basically like water that you would need at the time of thirst, which is going to be constant. It is like clothes that you need to protect yourself from the cold, which is also constant. This is exactly what it is. In fact, he's saying that remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is even on a higher level than the water that we need to quench our thirst, the heat that we need to stay warm, the clothes that we need to stay covered. Our remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is even higher than that. And the reason of it is, he says, look, where is the destruction of your soul and your heart compared to the destruction of your body and its food? And this will only make sense to a person who believes in the hereafter, because a person who believes in the hereafter understands the value of the ruh and the heart, the qalbun salim that he needs. Then he says that if there was no benefit for dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except this particular benefit, that if you remember Allah, Allah will remember you and continue to allow you to focus on yourself, the islah that you get. See, what happens is that we get different reminders throughout our life. Maybe something goes wrong. Maybe we hear an inspirational speech or anecdote. We see a lesson something that teaches us a lesson. So we get focused on ourselves. That's what's happened, right? We become focused on ourselves. I need to do something for myself. Now, a lot of people, they wonder how they will continue to remember themselves, continue to feel guilty, continue to feel conscious. The only way to do it without going back into our sleep, waiting for the next wake-up call, is by continually remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What it will do is it will keep us focused on ourselves, and that is a benefit and a ni'mah on its own. If a person is focused about themselves, though they may be committing sins, though they may be doing wrong once in a while here and there, but at the end of the day, at least, they are focused, they feel guilty, they feel remorseful, they make tawbah, as opposed to the person who doesn't do any of these things. That is the benefit, because remembrance of Allah will give you those 10 minutes, half an hour of remembrance of Allah and a bit of a focus on Him. Like, it has to have that benefit. Even if your dhikr is with distraction, there has to be some amount of benefit in there. So that's why it is like the main, the absolute basic thing that needs to happen. That's why he said, if this was the only fa'idah, then it would have sufficed. لَكَفَى بِهَا. Because فَمَنْ نَسِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنْسَاهُ نَفْسَهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَنَسِيَهُ فِي الْعَذَابِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Because anybody who forgets themselves in this world, or anybody who forgets Allah in this world, Allah will make him forget himself in this dunya, and he will forget him in the punishment in the hereafter. He'll just leave him there for a while. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and all of this is from the Quran, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَّرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Allah says, whoever is oblivious to the dhikr of Allah, whoever ignores the dhikr of Allah, whoever doesn't heed my remembrance, then for him will be a constricted life. For him will be a constricted life, which means it's not a life full of blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may have lots of the dunya, you may have everything at your disposal, but it will still be constriction in your heart. It may not be all the time you have this constriction, because you'll forget, you'll be enjoying. But that's all to our detriment, because we're losing. And when you do realize, you'll realize how bad it is. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. This person, we're going to gather them on the day of judgment as blind people. The person will ask, رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَّرْتَنِي أَعْمَى. Why have you gathered me together here on this day as a blind person? وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. I had sight before. قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا. وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. It says that likewise, it says in a similar way, that my signs used to come to you. My signs used to come to you, you forgot them, you decided to not heed them, and likewise today, you will not be heeded either. You will be made to be forgotten as well. Meaning, you'll be forgotten in the punishment, and nobody will extract you from it. So, when a person forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he's not going to read the Qur'an. So any forgetting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means a person forgets the remembrance of Allah through reciting the Qur'an as well. Because one of the main ways of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through the Qur'an, through the recitation of the Qur'an. You remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through reading the Qur'an, if you read it with meaning. You ponder over it, you take His names, His attributes, you remember His commands, and you ponder over His signs. This is our interaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We take His name, we read His book, we read His kitab, we think of His attributes, we obey His commands, and we appreciate His bounties, and we see His signs and ponder over His signs. Any person who doesn't do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be devoid of all of these things. They won't read the Qur'an with concentration. They'll have no time for it. No time for the remembrance of Allah. No time to think around properly about what this world is really made of. What it's really for. They won't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. And of course they won't take His name, and thus they won't have any dhikr in their life. All of this comes as a consequence of not doing His dhikr. Allahu Akbar. So essentially what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this verse, مَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ, is whoever stays away from my book and doesn't recite it, doesn't ponder over it, who doesn't follow my orders, who doesn't understand the Qur'an. فَإِنَّ حَيَاتَهُ وَمَعِيشَتَهُ, his life will be tight upon him, and he will be punished in different ways in there. The word danka, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً danka, dankun means الضيق والشدة والبلاء, a meaning of constriction, hardship and test. Some people have translated this or have explained this as meaning this is the feeling that they will have in the barzakh, in the intermediate realm. This is what will happen there. Whereas the sahih is that this actually incorporates the dunya and the akhirah and the barzakh. This is going to be a constant theme with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this person, that it's going to be constricted for him in all of these cases. As opposed to that, anybody who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will have at least some sense of satisfaction and success in that sense. Their life in this world will become the best of lives for them. And of course in the barzakh and in the akhirah, there'll be better reward for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. Now imagine if we were to be reciting Quran regularly, while also thinking and pondering over what we're reciting and reflection over what we're reciting, then these are all the verses that we would be passing. Now any person who's going to pass these verses often with reflection, their life is going to improve. There's no doubt about that. Their life is going to improve. Because the Quran is so powerful. The Quran is very powerful. According to many, many scholars, they say that if somebody just spends their time reciting Quran, doing nothing else, that will be sufficient for them. Because it is the strongest of the adhkar out there. Of course, we need to get ourselves into this mode of being able to reflect when we recite the Quran, have the concentration, otherwise we'll just recite it. And one of the dangers in this is that, especially for those who've memorized the Quran without understanding it, which is most non-Arabs, right? They get used to just reciting the Quran to keep their hifz, and they think that they've done their part. So we never get the benefit of the meaning of the Quran, because we don't understand what we're reading, because our whole focus, we generally have only a small amount of time anyway, right? In Ramadan generally. And then in that time, we just focus on reading, and we're just whizzing past the meanings, not even focusing on them. It's just like we're taking a fast drive something and we miss everything else, because it's just focused on the drive, not about looking around what's coming with it. Now imagine if all of these verses go past us. For example, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Anybody who does good deeds, be it male or female, and the person is a believer, we're going to give them a حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً, an absolutely excellent life, a wonderful life. Now you may be thinking that I do dhikr, right? Well, what it is that we may have spent years and years and years in sin, and those things have to be weeded out. Those things have to be eventually worn out of our system. And the more we do it, the more benefit that will come, right? The more that we do it, the more benefit that will come. Some sins like absence of ikhlas, some sins like arrogance, these things take a lot of time to go, because they are, you know, it's like you've inherited a company, you've become a CEO of a company, and there's been a massive corruption ring in that company at all levels. Imagine third world countries politics. A new president comes in, a new prime minister comes in, or whatever it is, and he wants to reform that. How is he going to reform? How long is it going to take? Because at every level there is corruption. There's bacteria, there's viruses at every level. There are people in there. I mean, I don't want to name some countries, but you can imagine that anybody who comes into these places, it's going to be a massive battle. And if he's lucky, he's going to get through this. Now, in this case with dhikr, it's with the remembrance of Allah, but it's going to take time to weed out, do many different things, negotiations. It changes, many changes, slowly try to convince these people to leave. They're not going to leave because it's their benefit in there. Just like that, if shaitan has been in our life in different ways, right, at every different level, that's why ikhlas is so difficult, because ikhlas, or absence of ikhlas, right, permeates every aspect of our life, just what we learned last time. So to rid that, we have to start, and we become used to it. We become used to dealing with these people at every level. Imagine a person who's been in that system for 15, 20 years, and he was also taking the bribes. He was also doing dhulm and so on. Now he wants to make a change. Imagine the resistance from all of these things around him. Similar case is with our remembrance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the difference here is that if you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help. I give you an example. I had to deal with a particular masjid and its politics and constitution. And it took us 3 years. And when we thought that this was going to be impossible, as masjid politics, or politics in any, it's just a politics in anything goes, that's how bad it is. Believe me, at the end of 2.5 years to 3 years, I had literally just about given up. I only had a shred of hope left. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent someone to help. And if it wasn't for that person, I don't think we would have got further. After all of that, we'd nearly gotten to the breakthrough. And then it was just like, we can't do this anymore, because it was just so entrenched. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a breakthrough. Alhamdulillah, things are much better. Same with our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to help. But He wants to show how much we're persevering, because nothing in this world comes just like that. Everything comes with effort. So if you think you do a bit of dhikr here and there and nothing happens to you, we need to do more, because our viruses, our problems, our thoughts, they've all been entrenched in this thing for years and years and years. That's why for a youth who spent his youth in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not being corrupted at that time, Allahu Akbar, that is the benefit. A youth who spent, you know, from age of 12, 13, 14, that he's prayed each time. He's been regular on their prayers and conscious of avoiding the haram. He may have done a few mistakes here and there, but they've been conscious of this fact. They will have much better off. If our youth has been spent in the wrong time, because this is when we start youth. The reason why youth I mention is it's the time when we discover a lot of things. Things are brought up to us. We suddenly start having a mind of our own. We start making our own decisions. We start becoming independent to a certain degree. And because of that, we're willing to take on different things, especially if you have a bad company around us and we don't have a solid base to start with. Most of our kids out there don't have a solid base because there's nobody teach them that solid base. Many people just start becoming focused afterwards generally. So now it takes a while, but then we have to constantly be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, and never give up. Allah's gonna see how much effort we can put in there. It may take 2 years, it may take 10 years. But at the end of the day, at least on the day of judgment, we can say, Ya Allah, I tried. Ya Allah, I used to fall into my sin once in a while still. I wasn't the perfect being, but I did try. I did do this, I did do this, I did do this. At the end of the way, if that's not our approach, then what is our approach going to be? Because if we feel like, if I feel that there's certain things that I do, I have no ikhlas, I have no this, I have no that, so I should just give up, where am I going to go? It's only into more sin, isn't it? There's no other option, is there? There's really no other option. So the fact that Allah says, and the Prophet ﷺ told us so many times, that you guys will sin, or possibly will sin, right? Yeah, I know what kind of deludes us sometimes is the story of the real pious aslaf, that they never committed a sin, or they never do this and never do this, right? I guess there's very few of them who've said themselves, I've never committed a sin. You know, there's very few who've probably said. But in general, they would be purer than anybody else. Some of them will say, we committed one sin and this is what happened because of that. But all of that regret for 40 years they would have, and the du'as they would be making for 40, 50 years to focus on that. So I think Allah will I think Allah is going to treat everybody according to their status and their surrounding. I have to say that. And I say this based on a hadith the Prophet ﷺ said, or the Sahaba said, that this is a hadith about the early generation of Rasulullah ﷺ, that today, if we're to miss 10% of what we have been commanded to do, you know, in terms of the general general approach to Islam, if we just have shortcomings in even 10%, we are dead. Halakna. We'd be dead. A time will come when if a person just focuses on 10% of their faith in doing it, and 90% he's not focused, he will survive. Now, I don't think we're at that stage yet, but we're definitely not at the first stage either. Do you understand? We're not at the stage where if you do 10% less, because we're in a time that is so different from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I don't think we're also in that stage where we can't do much and we can only do 10%. We're somewhere in between. I hate to say where we are. I wouldn't like to say where we are, but we're definitely not at either of those extremes. So that's why that is the hope aspect that we need to continue. Shaitan will use anything in our life to try to make us think that there's no point. That's what Iblis is all about. Cause that confusion in your mind. That is what Iblis is all about. At the end of the day, Allah is going to look at the efforts of somebody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very holistic in the way He does things, and He's willing to give the benefit of the doubt, because He is Shakkar, Shakkarun Aleem. Shakkar means the one who is extremely grateful, and extremely grateful, and He's Haleem. He's not a tight individual, a mean individual. He's not a mean entity that is just going to look at the negatives. Allah is positive in His approach with people, as long as they're positive in their approach with Him. Another verse says, وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Anybody who's constantly, we will give them their reward for the best of what they used to do. For the best of what they used to do, we will give them their reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. Those people who have migrated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after they've been oppressed. Anybody who undertakes a migration because they couldn't do what their deen, and they were oppressed in their world in a particular place, we will لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. We will give them good in this world. We will give them good in this world, and their akhirah, the reward of their akhirah, will be even greater. If only they knew that. If they knew that, they would make that difference. If they knew that, they will take that step. See, for a person who's being persecuted, it's not easy for them to make hijrat for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, if they see that they're going to have a better life somewhere else, like definite business opportunity, that would be probably more of a inspiration for them to move than for them just to move. Because they'll probably bear the problem, because they've got everything around them. We have so much attachment to our world. But for somebody who gives that up for the sake of Allah, like the people in Makkah did for going to the Muhajirin al-Awwaleen, then look at what happened to them. All of them prospered afterwards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ يُمَتِّعْكُمْ مَتَاعًا حَسَنًا إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. And seek forgiveness from your Lord, and then return to Him, and He will give you مَتَاعًا حَسَنًا إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. He will give you an excellent usage of the world. Excellent benefits in this world. مَتَاع is anything that you do in the world. So an excellent benefit of the world, utility of the world essentially, until an appointed time. وَيُؤْتِ كُلَّ ذِي فَضْلٍ فَضْلَهُ. And anybody who has this matter of grace with him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him his grace. Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Say, my servants who believe, اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ, fear your Lord. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. For those people who do good in this world, for them is good. There'll be a goodly reward for them. وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً. Because the land of Allah, the earth of Allah, the land of Allah is extensive. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really gives those who have patience their reward without any accounts. He gives them abundantly, without any restriction. So these are four places in all of these verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about rewarding people who remember Him. One is the one who does good in this world for his ihsan, he gets good in this world, he gets good in the hereafter. He gets early good in this world, he gets the good in the hereafter as well. The person who doesn't do good, he gets darkness in the heart. His matter is never confident. He is never completely happy. There's always issues. There's always problems. There's always instability, despite having everything at their disposal. And that's what the problem is with this. That's why Ibn al-Qayyim mentions from his Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, he used to say that, إِنَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا جَنَّةً من لم يدخلها لا يدخل جنة الآخرة. That in this world there is a paradise. Anybody who doesn't enter this paradise in this world, they won't enter the paradise of the hereafter. He's obviously speaking about the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim says, one day Ibn Taymiyyah said to me, ما يصنع أعدائي بي. What are my enemies going to do with me? What can they do to me? أنا جنتي وبستاني في صدري. My garden and my paradise is in my heart. It's in my chest. What are they going to do to me? I'm going to be in paradise wherever it is. إن رحت فيها فهي معي لا تفارقني. Wherever I go, that paradise remains with me. إن حبسي خلوة وقتلي شهادة وإخراجي من بلدي سياحة. He says it doesn't matter for me, because if they imprison me, then I find seclusion. I find seclusion with my Jannah. And if they kill me, it's a shahada. And if they banish me from these lands, then it's a trip for me. It's just a journey for me. In fact, it says that when he was put into the prison, and when he got inside, he read the following verse. فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٌ بَاطِنُهُ فِيهِ الرَّحْمَةُ وَظَاهِرُهُ مِنْ قِبَلِهِ الْعَذَابُ. He had an ajeeb mind. Ibn Taymiyyah had an ajeeb mind. Unfortunately, in some cases, he used it a bit too much and had some theological issues. But in this case, it was like a perfect example. He's put into this prison of the this fort of Damascus, which is very close to the masjid, the Jami' al-Umawi. He read the following verse, فَضُّرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ, that suddenly a wall comes up in between them. It has one door. Now beyond this door, in the inside of it, is rahmah. And on the outside of it, there's punishment. So he's saying, it's fine, you've put me inside into rahmah, and outside is punishment. Now, a person in that kind of situation, gaining satisfaction and still happy, that shows what a person connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do, or what will do, because it doesn't matter what their situation is. They will be making the best of their situation because Allah keeps them happy, because the connection of their heart is linked to Allah. They've got a Wi-Fi open to that. They've got an attachment to that. Otherwise it's dull. You got no Wi-Fi inside, khalas, finish. But any person who has access, they could be in the worst of situations, but they will have this access all the time. So what Ibn al-Qayyim says is that glorified be Allah who makes some people witness, among his servants, he makes some people witness their Jannah before they actually meet their true Jannah. And he opens the doors of Jannah for them in this world of deeds and practice. And he gives them of its benefits, its fragrances and its bounties in this world. That's why some of the arifin who have reached this stage status, they used to say that لو علم الملوك وأبناء الملوك ما نحن فيه لجالدونا عليه بالسيوف. That if the rulers of the world and their children, if all of these powerful men of the earth, if they knew what we had, then they would fight with us with their swords. Because that's what powerful men, they're greedy men. So whenever they see some good somewhere, a good opportunity, they will go over and take it up. So if they knew about this, unfortunately it's not something that they can experience. They would fight with us with their swords. Another arif said, مساكين أهل الدنيا, the people who are miskeen in this world, خرجوا منها وما ذاقوا أطيب ما فيها. They left this world without tasting the excellent aspects of this world, all the delicacies and all of the refinements of this world. قيل وما أطيب ما فيها. So somebody asked him, what do you mean by that? What is the best of this world? He says, "Mahabbatullahi ta'ala wa ma'rifatihi wa dhikrih." Now, initially we thought that he's talking about miskeen, a poor person who doesn't have the money, and they haven't tasted the best of the luxuries of this world. And then suddenly the person asked him a question, what do you mean by this? So he's saying, what I mean by this is that the most excellent things of this world is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his ma'rifah and his remembrance. So these miskeen who didn't taste that when they left the world is no longer the miskeen we're speaking about, is not the one of money, but it's the one who's miskeen from these things, who left this world bereft of any remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're the ones who will get anything from this. Another one, these are just different arifin's way of explaining their state. As I said, we can just enjoy their words, and hopefully one day we'll also say the same thing. You know that poem they read, Mera Dil Tarap Raha Hai, right? Another one says, إِنَّهُ لَتَمُرُّ بِالْقَلْبِ أَوْقَاتٌ يَرْقُسُ فِيهَا طَرَبًا. That I have sometimes in my heart when it dances in ecstasy. A person is saying, you know, like a lot of people, they like to go and have a dance somewhere once in a while because it makes them feel good. These people, they sit at home and there's times in their day when their heart dances in ecstasy. They don't need a dance from the outside. In fact, another one said, sometimes I have had such experiences. I have times when I feel that if the people of Jannah have this kind of ecstasy, then they must be really enjoying it. They must be really enjoying it. So the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to acquire His love, constantly remembering Him, finding peace only with Him, singling out only Him for your love, fearing only Him, hoping only on Him, with Him, relying only on Him, and dealing only with Him. In the sense that بِحَيْثُ يَكُونُ هُوَ وَحْدَهُ, in the sense that it's only Him alone, right? Then He will be the one that will take over your thoughts. That is when it becomes Jannat al-Dunya. As mentioned in the other hadith, I will become the hands by which they touch and the feet by which they walk, and so on. That's the same kind of hadith. That is the qurratu ayn al-muhibbin. That is when the people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most, their eyes will become gladdened by this. I think that is more than enough for us to think about. More than us to think about. I think the main lesson that I see from this is the fact that anybody who doesn't remember Allah, Allah will not let them focus on themselves. So then they'll have wake-up calls once in a while and they'll wonder why they can't have permanence. And anybody who doesn't have that permanent state of dhikr, you know, one is okay, you miss it 1 or 2 days, maybe even 5 days. But when you get back on, then you do it for the next 10 days. One is that, you know, what is our stage? We do some dhikr, and then after that we miss it 1 day, then 2 days, then 3 days. And then we get a wake-up call, or we do a reminder, or somebody reminds us, or we see something, and we do it for another 1 day, and then we go back into that. So most of the time we're not doing dhikr, we're only doing it sometimes. Then there's the other person who's a bit better than that, in the sense that he's doing it a lot of the time, though he does mess up 1 day, 2 days, maybe 3 days, maybe even 4 days. Then he gets back on. And then he stays on for longer than he was off. So you're more on than you were off. Then that, there's hope in that. But there's hope in every stage, but there's more hope in this, because at least that's our state. It's something to be satisfied about. And of course, a person who's constantly doing it, and then he does it to such a degree that if he forgets it one day, he feels so bad that he does extra the other day. And that's even more. So let us aim to at least have more days on than off. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Because if He makes us forget ourselves, then that is a really sad case for both this world and the hereafter. اللهم أنت السلام منك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث سبحان الله العلي الأعلى الوهاب اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Oh Allah, connect our hearts to You. Oh Allah, forgive us our shortcomings, our lapses. Oh Allah, forgive us our estrangement with You. Oh Allah, forgive our distance from You. Oh Allah, for so many years we've allowed many things to fester in our minds and our hearts and our bodies. Oh Allah, we've been constantly engaged in many, many different things. Oh Allah, we have been in a state of forgetfulness. Oh Allah, we have been in a state of heedlessness. Oh Allah, we have been constantly in the state of heedlessness. Oh Allah, even today we are more heedless than remembering You. Oh Allah, we ask You for the bounty of Your remembrance. We ask You for the gift of Your remembrance. Oh Allah, make us worthy of it. Oh Allah, make us worthy of it. Oh Allah, if sitting here has any meaning today, Oh Allah, grant us barakah and blessing. Grant us forgiveness. Grant us forgiveness and maghfirah. Oh Allah, grant us maghfirah. Grant us maghfirah. Oh Allah, we ask you to assist us in our worldly needs. Oh Allah, in our needs for the hereafter. Oh Allah, you have given us so much of the dunya. Oh Allah, we ask you to give us even more of the hereafter. Oh Allah, do not make this a deception for us. Do not make this a deception for us. Oh Allah, we remember you at small reminders and then we forget. Oh Allah, don't make our life such that we only remember you when we get a reminder. But Oh Allah, allow us to remember you for your sake. Oh Allah, out of love for you. Oh Allah, out of love for you, out of understanding for you. Oh Allah, grant us your ma'rifah. Oh Allah, grant us your ma'rifah. Oh Allah, grant us your ma'rifah. Allow us to do deeds in this world that are conducive to your ma'rifah, conducive to your remembrance, conducive to your orders. Oh Allah, grant us the tawfiq to save our recitation of the Quran. Oh Allah, grant us also that experience that the arifin have of experiencing Jannah in this world. Oh Allah, Oh Allah, Oh Allah. We know that we say this with these dirty mouths and dirty hearts that have become accustomed to sins that no longer do we even think of them as sins. Oh Allah, we justify our misdeeds. Oh Allah, what a blasphemy. We justify our bad deeds. Oh Allah, and with the shortest of setbacks we give up. Oh Allah, with the shortest of setbacks we start looking elsewhere. Oh Allah, we grant us your tawfiq. Oh Allah, grant us your tawfiq. Oh Allah, grant us your tawfiq. Grant us strength, because we know and we have recognized and we acknowledge that there's no way we can do this except by you. Oh Allah, we recognize we can't do this anyway except by you. So we ask you, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, keep us asking you, keep us asking you. Oh Allah, grant us the kalima on our deathbed. Grant us the kalima on our deathbed. Oh Allah, protect us and our progenies until the day of judgment. Oh Allah, grant us tawfiq to do the right things in this world. Oh Allah, fulfill our permissible needs. Oh Allah, fulfill our permissible needs. Grant us your love and the love of those who love you and surround us with people who love you. Oh Allah, Oh Allah, Oh Allah. Assist us and the Muslimin around the world. Assist us and the Muslimin around the world from all of the challenges that we face today. Oh Allah, make us truly worthy and connected to you so that your rahmah and your mercy can come. Oh Allah, we ask that you grant us Jannatul Firdaus. And Oh Allah, send your abundant blessings on our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and grant us a great reward on behalf of his entire ummah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifuna wa salamun alal mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.